Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is RFERL Enterprise Editor Carl Schreck. Welcome, Carl.
Great to be here, Steve.
Great to have you again on the show, Carl. Well, one big topic that will certainly be in the news this week is the talks between Russia and Japan on the Kuril Islands, or more precisely, the four islands Russia calls the Southern Kuriles and Japan calls the Northern Territories. This issue is kind of the gift that keeps on giving, even though Russia hasn't given anything away yet, at least. But President Vladimir Putin is scheduled to meet with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe in Moscow tomorrow. And mainly because of something Putin said in the fall, there's been a lot of talk about a possible deal after all these years under which Russia and Japan would finally conclude a World War II peace treaty and Moscow would hand over two of the islands, Shikotan and actually a group of islets called Habomai, to Tokyo. Putin himself raised this prospect in November, at least indirectly, when he spoke of talks to reach an agreement based on a 1956 declaration under which that would happen. But Russia has toughened its rhetoric on the issue in recent weeks after Japanese officials started talking up the idea of an imminent deal. And Lavrov and others, or Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and others, have said Japan must recognize Russian sovereignty over all the islands. Also, there have been protests in Russia saying Moscow must not give any of the islands away, including a rally yesterday led by kind of nationalists and leftists, including Igor Girkin, a.k.a. Strelkov, a former commander of anti-Kiev forces in eastern Ukraine. So these have not been big protests, but really the whole thing raises the question of whether there's any chance that Russia will give any of the islands away to Japan in the near future. Some serious analysts seem to be unsure and also to be a bit baffled by Russia's seemingly contradictory comments in recent weeks and months. Carl, any thoughts on this?
Yes, as far as the protests are concerned, I would tend not to make too much out of them when, you know, before Putin, around the time Putin was gave away some land to China in 2004, there were protests as well, and from kind of the same political spectrum, the communists opposed it. And nationalist types, there were a couple of national Bolshevik activists that got, I think, 10-month prison terms or something for protests related to it. Mm-hmm. I don't expect the protests to explode across broad swaths of the political spectrum in Russia. Another point is that Russia, I think, in this situation, can afford to play hardball. Abe's term is up in less than 3 years, and so really the pressure is on him to get a deal done. This came to the forefront most recently with Putin's comments in the fall, and you know, as it's no secret that geopolitics are what Putin likes doing. He doesn't. He doesn't seem to enjoy the humdrum of the of domestic politics, and this is an issue that he can raise basically show a tough Russian position on, and knowing that Abe really wants to get a deal done, I think the heightened rhetoric out of Moscow in recent weeks after the comments out of Japan that seemed to upset Russian officials, I think this is again a chance for Moscow to look strong in these negotiations, and personally I would be skeptical if a deal gets done anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, those are some great points, including about Abe's, Abe being sort of under the gun. He's been, I think he and Putin have been in power concurrently since 2012. They seem to get along well. They've spoken a lot about this, but, that is sort of a factor that says, well, maybe Russia has raised Japan's hopes in the fall, and now is kind of playing, as you say, playing hardball, sort of like, and I think, I mean, and seeing maybe what Russia can get out of Japan. I mean, there are factors that would make a deal beneficial for Russia. I mean, a few things analysts have mentioned is sort of an alliance, or not an alliance, but a deal with Japan, an agreement with Japan on this, lessens China's influence a little in the region, and with Russia, which is clearly the sort of the weaker partner in the Russia-China dynamic. Also, I think that Russia is trying to see what it can get out of Japan in terms of the U.S. military presence and the U.S. Missile defense. Putin keeps raising this issue of, well, you know, after the 1956 declaration, you know, then the U.S. moved missile defenses in. So it's a little bit. So I think Russia is trying to see what it can get, and as you say, it kind of remains unclear if it gets what it wants. Maybe there'll be a deal. Another factor is investment. I mean, Russia clearly in the past has conditioned kind of progress toward a peace deal with Japan on Japanese investment and trade. And Lavrov said recently that, you know, there has not been enough of that. So, you know, again, it looks like Russia's trying to get what it can out of this.
I think they're trying to see what they can get. But basically, they're playing with house money here, and I think that, you know, the status quo can suit them just as well. And like you say, basically just seeing how far they can push and what sort of concessions they could get.
Yeah, I mean, another factor though is I think, you know, despite the small size of the protests and the fact that these are essentially fringe elements at this point, at least in Moscow, is Putin's popularity. I mean, Abe is certainly under the gun. And I think for Abe, one thing is also, you know, Putin's term. Putin has, you know, 5 years left in his term, and nobody's really sure what's going to happen after that. So I think for Japan may feel that the time is now, and that also plays into Russia's hands a bit, as you mentioned. But for Putin, you know, I think there is a question. I mean, I was reading an article in MK. They cite this analyst Valery Solovyev, and he says, you know, he's predicted accurately that so far that the protests won't be big, but that the issue will affect, if Russia gives away any islands, that it would affect Putin's popularity. So I think he is thinking about that, that's a consideration he's probably aware of. I mean, the Kremlin says it pays a little attention to ratings, but I think Putin may be hoping a decline in the last half of 2018, a decline in his popularity ratings, will soon be reversed. But a new poll by the state-funded Vitsiom suggests that's not happening yet. The early January poll put the number of Russians naming Putin as one of the politicians they trust the most at 33.4%, which is the lowest in that poll since at least 2006. And it's 4 percentage points lower than the numbers from the time of the Bolotnaya protest at the end of 2011. So, Carl, I mean, how much of a problem do you think these opinion poll numbers present for Putin? They seem to be persisting on the lower side. Do you think he'll take any steps to rectify the situation?
Yeah, I'm not sure about whether he would take any active steps to rectify it, although I think it might influence decision-making as far as making it more cautious. If we look at the same Vitsiom poll, you know, they found that 62.1% of Russians approved the work of the president. That's, you know, a different question than trust. But in general, I think the Kremlin has been very effective at kind of funneling discontent toward the government rather than, you know, and away from Putin himself. Obviously, the Kremlin does. I believe they do pay attention to polls, and in a case like the Kuril Islands, according to a Levada poll released last year in November, They found that 17% would likely support handing some islands over to Japan, and that was up from from 7% in May 2016. But still, an overwhelming majority of Russians, according to Levada, would not like to see that. And so I think that poll numbers and that kind of polling would also, you know, influence the Kremlin's decisions in dealing with Japan on this issue.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I think if Russia were to cede any of the islands, I mean, the Kremlin might try to do it in a way where, okay, we're demanding you recognize our sovereignty over all the islands, and then they might try to do it in a way that where they basically give Japan control, but somehow either don't really cede sovereignty or claim they're not. So I think there is a little room for maneuver there, but there's certainly Putin and the Kremlin are going to want to do it, if they do so, in a way that does not, you know, does not really seem like Russia's getting a bad deal, and they want to make it seem like Russia's getting a good deal. So we'll see if they can engineer that. Well, thanks very much, Carl. It's been great to have you on the show. That's it for today. I'll be back next Monday. And meanwhile, please keep an eye out on Friday for The Week in Russia, my newsletter about recent events and what they might mean going forward. Thank you.